John chapter 7 is where we are this morning. And I believe, let's read starting in verse 37. Really going to focus on verse 40 all the way to the end of the chapter, but I'll start in 37 to give us a little context. So John 7, down there in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Okay, so keep in mind, that's some incredible things that the Lord said right there. And then verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this thing, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have ye not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." 47. Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them," he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth?" They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went unto his own house. That is quite a conversation there, from 45 down to the end of the chapter, several involved. And here's the question I would like to pose to all of us this morning. The question is, are you on the Lord's side? And we saw there that there was a division among the people there in verse 43. And that'll actually be our first point this morning. We'll talk about dividing. And then we'll talk about deceiving and then defending. And I hope that you are a defender of the Lord Jesus Christ rather than deceiving other people about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And there's all kinds of people out there, isn't there? There's deceivers and defenders. I hope you're a defender of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quite a conversation had here. We'll dig into this morning, Lord willing. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord God Almighty, we come to you in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. And we certainly acknowledge that we need your help this morning. We need your help, first and foremost, understanding these things that we read. We know your Holy Spirit will help us with that. And we also need help with applying these things after we learn them. And I pray that you would just be the leader of this morning. Lead the way, Lord, as we go through this passage. And I don't want to say things that you don't want to be said. I just want to be used by you to say what you want for this particular group of people that's here today. We know that you have a message for us. And I pray that we would hear it, believe it, and apply it. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, if you would, keep your finger there. We're going to be doing some turning this morning, as you ought to be accustomed to. Go back to Exodus 32, and I'll kind of set the tone for where we're going this morning. Exodus 32. Old Moses over here asked a great question that goes along with what I said before we prayed. Exodus 32, and this is after the whole ordeal with the golden calf, which was a mess. And go down there to verse 26. 32:26. Exodus 32, verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Isn't that a great question? "Let him come unto me." And if you're on the Lord's side, the Lord would have you follow him. So let's ask that question this morning individually. Are you on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Now, I did not ask you who you're voting for. Because a lot of people think, well, if you're voting for a particular candidate, you must be on the Lord's side. You could vote for, in your eyes, the right candidate and not be on the Lord's side. And I'll just say, and I'll leave it at this and not go political, but it's more important that you're on the Lord's side than any candidate's side. The verse that comes to mind to me as in this election season is Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, and that's any man. So keep that in mind as we go through this passage. Back to John here. And if you notice, the Lord said some incredible truths here about living water. We read that. And that living water is the Holy Spirit of God. Which, if you're saved, did you know that your body, this is just something, a little side note, your body physically is made up of a lot of water. But you actually need the Holy Spirit of God to be truly alive. And it just so happens that the Holy Spirit of God there is compared to water, but no ordinary water, living water. And that's another message. But go down there to verse 40, after the Lord said that. Now notice how there's people saying different things about the Lord here. Beginning in verse 40, it says, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this thing, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. And you should have a capital P there in your Bible. You see that? Now, who is that? Well, let's go back to the Old Testament here. Go to Deuteronomy 18. And make sure that you compare Scripture to Scripture so you can put pieces together in your Bible. He says there that, of a truth, this is the prophet, capital P. Well, we got to go back to the Old Testament to find out who that was or who was mentioned over here. So Deuteronomy 18, go down there to verse 15. This is Moses again. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, it says there, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a, what do you see there? You have a capital P? Okay, that matches John 7. Let's keep going. A prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And there's a whole lot right there. The prophet with the capital P would be Jewish. From, notice it says there, of thy brethren. And notice it says also, like unto me. That would be like Moses. And unto him ye shall hearken. Go down there to verse 18, same chapter. 18:18. I will raise them up a, there it is again, a prophet with a capital P. From among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Okay, so these folks back over here in John, go back there to verse 40, John 7. The folks that said, of a truth, this is the prophet, they were connecting the Lord Jesus Christ with who we just read about in Deuteronomy 18. And guess what, folks? They had it right. They were right about that. Now, that's one group of people. They said, this is the prophet, and they were right. Notice 41. Others said, this is who? The Christ. All right, so let's look at that. Go back to John chapter 1. The Christ. What is that all about? John chapter 1. Some said the prophet. They were right. Others said, this is the Christ, capital C. Who would that be? John chapter 1. Go down there to verse 40. John 1 verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. Folks, what does the Christ mean? It tells you right there. Messiah and Christ mean the same thing. So these folks over here in John 7 that said, this is the Christ, they were saying that about who? The Lord Jesus Christ. What do we have over here in John 1? These apostles, Simon there, said the same thing. Guess what? He had it right too. So go back there to John 7. You got some said he's the prophet. Others said he's the Christ. They were both right. Jesus Christ is the prophet. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Now look at 41, the end of verse 41. And then you got another group here. And they say, others said this is the Christ, but some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? All right, so they're saying that the Lord had come from Galilee down to where they were here. And notice what they say in 42. Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of what? Bethlehem, where David was. Now, you got this group of people who connected the Lord Jesus Christ with Galilee. And they didn't understand that he could be connected with both Galilee, which was in the north, and Bethlehem, which was in the south. I'll give you an example. I was born in Texas. So if you ask me where I'm from, I might say Texas, but you know what else I might say? I might say Louisiana. You know why? I spent a good amount of my life in Louisiana, the first part of my life in Texas. So somebody could say, he's from Texas, and he's from Louisiana, and guess what? Both of them be right. No problem for Christ to be out of Galilee and yet be born where? In Bethlehem. But they had a problem with that. They said, oh, he can only be born from Bethlehem. And we'll come back to that at the end of the message here, but just kind of keep that in mind. You got a group that's not sure who he is. You got a group that says he's the prophet. You got a group that says he's the Christ. But then some are still asking questions. Does this not line up with just people in our world today? Some people, hopefully you got it nailed down, the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got it nailed down because you know him through his word. Other people ask questions and they hadn't got it figured out yet. And I will tell you, if you hadn't got it figured out yet, you need to go to the Bible to get the answer. Don't lean on me and be careful about trusting men. You need to go to the Bible to find out the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were talking about him this morning in Sunday school. He's the image of the invisible God. He's God manifest in the flesh. He's the creator. All right, John 1:1, Genesis 1:1. So that's the biblical identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that your eternal destination is 100% dependent on what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? It is 100% dependent on that. I'll show you some things about that here in a minute. But notice that there's a division. Look at verse 43 there. There was a division among the people because of him. Very interesting to me that even today in our world, in the United States of America, which people say, oh, we're a Christian nation. Really? There's quite a division about who the Lord Jesus Christ is in this nation. Again, can't worry about everybody else. How about you? Have you got this thing nailed down? Do you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is? I was saying in Sunday school, I talked to a young man about his salvation this week, and he said to me, I asked him about his relationship with the Lord, and he kept saying, oh, you mean the man upstairs? That's not biblical, folks. In fact, that's very worldly, isn't it? So make sure that you know him personally. The way you're going to know him personally is by looking at what the Bible says about him. And did you know, I'll say this, the Lord wants you to know him personally. Isn't that a great thing? You know, if you ask me for help, I could help you. But I'm one man and I can only be in one place at one time. And I can help you do a few things. When you ask the Lord for help, he is able to be in many places at one time and help many different people all at the same time. That's only the Lord can do that. See, I can't help you with very many of your problems. The Lord can help you with all your problems. And God can help Brother Phil, Brother Dave, Miss Linda, Jerry. We could all pray at the same time and the Lord could help us all at the same time. That's the personal nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? I can call my dad. And my dad may or may not be able to help me. He lives in Orlando. He may or may not be able to come over and help me with a problem if I have it. He's helped me work on my car. He's helped me with all kinds of things. Well, did you know that the Lord can help me any time of the day? And he can help me with any problem I've got. And I hope you know the Lord personally. He wants to know you personally. People think the Lord is out to get them. The Lord wants you to know him personally. If you think the Lord's out to get you, maybe you're trying to hide some kind of sin or something, maybe. That's usually the case. Oh, he's always out to get me. If you're trying to hide something, you might have that idea. The Lord wants you to come clean because he's the only one that can cleanse your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ can do that. And he wants you to know him personally. Do you know him personally? Do you? When was the last time you talked to him? Was it today? Was it last week? Has it been a while? If it's been a while, start today. You need to talk to him today. I need him every day. I need thee every hour. That's so true. The job that God has put me in this year, I am seeing that more and more. And Sherry and I have had a conversation. I'll tell her, I don't think I can do this. And she'll remind me, you're right. You can't do it. The Lord puts you in a position where you have to say, I need you, Lord, because I can't do this. Did you know when you find yourself in these positions where you realize you can't do anything, that is exactly where the Lord wants you. Because he wants you to give him glory, and he gets glory when we acknowledge, I can't do it. John 15:5 has come over and over the last few weeks. For without me, the Lord said, for without me, ye can do what? Nothing. Well, surely I can. Without me, you can do nothing. Oh, I got this one. Without me, you can do... Man, I need to be reminded of that often. All right, so there's a division among the people there, just like there's a division today. I hope that you know the Lord and you've got that clear. It's been decided that you're on the Lord's side. What I'm saying is, have you been saved? If you're saved, you're on the Lord's side. But let's go a little further. If you're on the Lord's side, how about do other people know you're on the Lord's side? Are you living for Him? Are you speaking up for Him? And we'll get to some things about that here in a minute. But let's talk about this division a little further. Go down to verse 45. Look who's doing the dividing here. Verse 45. Then came the officers to... Who'd they come to, folks? Anytime these guys show up in your Bible, you better watch out. The chief priests and Pharisees. Now, you think the priests, they must be real religious. They must be very holy. Beloved, right? You better watch out for that religious crowd. Come on, you gotta watch out for the people who tout themselves as being religious. Watch out for those people. All right, so the chief priests and Pharisees, it says, they came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? So they're thinking, you know, this guy has done these things, he said these things, you guys should have arrested him already. And look what they say. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Isn't that the truth? There is not a man that's ever walked the face of the earth that said what the Lord Jesus Christ said with the authority that He said it. It says over there in Mark, He spake as one that had authority and not as the scribes. The most authoritative person ever walked the face of the earth is the Lord Jesus Christ. And did you know that if you want to know what He said when He was here, you've got a book that has His words recorded. Nobody that ever walked the face of the earth spake like the Lord Jesus Christ. He had insight into things that no man ever that walked the face of the earth had insight. You know, there's Solomon. He's a very wise man, you know. He's greater than Solomon. You take all the Old Testament prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than all of them. You know why? He's no ordinary man. He's God manifest in the flesh. Okay, so let's look at some things here about these deceivers. Verse 47 there, they say, look at verse 47. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? So the Pharisees are saying, you people who are believing on Him are deceived. Anything changed in the last couple thousand years? Anybody ever said to you because of what you believe that you're deceived? Surely you've been saved a while and you've spoken up for the Lord. Somebody said that to you. Notice what they say next. They say, are ye also deceived? And look at 48. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on Him? Are you seeing right there some peer pressure? You seeing the pressure? Hey, it's not a popular thing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saying there. I mean, come on. Come on, guys. Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on Him? Why would you believe on Him? It's not a popular thing to believe this man. Why would you? In 2020, it's not a popular thing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you? Because He's the only one who can save my soul. That's why. All right. So let's get a couple things here. I want to put a couple things together here. Never man spake like this man. And then, are ye also deceived? All right. So is he a deceiver or is he a truth teller? Well, let's look at a couple verses here. Go over to Matthew 11. Never man spake like this man. And either he was telling the truth or he was being a deceiver. And I'm going to go on the side of he's telling the truth. Look at 11:28. Now, these should be familiar verses to you. But there's only one man that could say what we're about to read and mean it. I could not say what the Lord said here and mean what He said. But I'm going to read what He said because He meant it. Look at 11:28. The Lord says, come unto me. What's that next word? Does that mean everybody? Oh, amen. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Is that you? If it's not you today, it might be you this week. You labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Folks, I couldn't do that. If you said you could do that, you couldn't do it. Can you give somebody rest who's labored and heavy laden? I could give you a drink of water. I could say you can use my bed or my couch. But that's not going to last for very long, is it? So only the Lord Jesus Christ can say that. Look at 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Watch it. And ye shall find rest unto what? Your soul. See, I could give you some physical help. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you the spiritual help you need. He'll give you, it says right there, rest unto your souls. See, never man spake like Him. Only He could say those words that we just read and mean them, and they could be true and available for all of us in this room today. You can go to Him today if you labor in a heavy laden, and He'll give you what? He'll still give you rest. Those words have been true for the last 2,000 years since He spoke them. Go to John 14. How about this one? Never man spake like this man. Only He could say what we're about to read here. Never man spake like the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what He says here. You know the verse. 14:6. You should know it. The Lord says, John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only one man could say that, and it could be true. And that would be the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get to God the Father? Do you need to go through a priest? Do you need to go through Mary? You need a mediator, though. And that mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it right there. The way, the truth, the life. The meaning there's only one. Very narrow-minded wasn't the Lord. Only one way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, go back there to John 7. So never man spake like this man. And it's interesting how right after that, what those officers said in John 7:46, I agree 1,000%. Man, they were right. Never man spake like this man. But anytime someone speaks up for the Lord, there's always somebody around to try to drag them down. Look at the next verse. Have you noticed that, by the way? You ever done? You speak up for the Lord and there's somebody around there. The devil's always got people to oppose you. Have you noticed that? There's always somebody around. Don't make that stop you. Don't let the opposition stop you from doing right. Don't let opposition stop you from speaking up for the Lord. There's always going to be opposition. You just keep speaking up for the Lord. And I'll tell you, the more you speak up for the Lord, you're probably going to get more opposition. Don't stop speaking up for the Lord. You know what's happened in the year 2020? Christians have gone silent. How about we open our mouths? Don't stop speaking up for the Lord. I don't care how much you get opposed. Keep speaking up. We've had some pastors out there in California that said, we're not going to stop. Amen. What's stopping you? Somebody make you feel bad? Somebody embarrass you? Don't stop speaking up for the Lord. All right? Look at verse 47. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Now, I read that verse. The Pharisees are accusing those who say that the Lord Jesus Christ is no ordinary person. They're saying that those people are deceived. And I say to myself, who's really deceived here? I'll show you an interesting verse. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think this verse nails those Pharisees. And I'll tell you, this verse we're going to read here will just really nail a bunch of the religious crowd today. Look at 2 Timothy 3. A couple of verses that are so true in the day we're living in. 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? All right, now look at the next verse. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now watch the end here. The first thing it says is deceiving and being. The ones who are the deceivers are the ones who are deceived. Isn't that wild? Make that go along with what we read there in John 7. They say, are you also deceived? Who's the ones that are deceived? It's those Pharisees. They're the ones that are deceived right there. Now, on your way back, go back to Mark chapter 12 before you go back to all the way to John. Go to Mark chapter 12. Then we'll go back to John here. Mark chapter 12. Keep your finger in John 7. Let's look at the type of people, who were willing to hear the Lord more than anybody else. And I sure want to identify with this group. If you look at Mark 12. Mark 12, go down there to verse 35. The Lord is talking here, and He poses this question that He likes to ask. And whenever He asks this particular question we'll read about here, He's always trying to get the religious crowd to realize they don't have an answer. But look at 35. It says, Jesus answered and said, while He taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David? For David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David, therefore, himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son? All right, won't go into details there, but that's a great question that the Lord asked. And what he's trying to show you there is that he can be born in David's line as a man and also be around before David. It's the deity of Christ is what he's talking about there. Now look at the end of verse 37. And the common people heard him gladly. I like those people. I like to associate with that crowd as a commoner. Notice the difference. The common people here were willing to hear and believe what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Back there in John, it's that religious crowd, those of higher education, you got to watch out for. Watch out for those scholars. Watch out for those scribes. They sound like they know everything. When they depart from God's word, they know nothing. So make sure you stick with what God's word says here. And I'll just remind you here, folks, there's deceivers around today, aren't there? And the way that you keep from being deceived is don't trust the preacher, trust the word of God. All right? And I say that being the man in the pulpit today. You trust what God says far above what I say. And you always check to make sure that what's said from the pulpit lines up with what the scriptures say, all right? That'll keep you from being deceived. The Lord doesn't want you to be deceived, but you've got to go to the word of God to keep from being deceived. All right, so go back there to John 7, and let's get here to this last thing here. All right, we're doing good on time this morning. So we've got the division there, and then we've got the deceivers, those Pharisees and chief priests. And then we got this fellow who speaks up for the Lord. And like I said before, the Lord always needs somebody to speak up on his behalf. So if you look there at 7:47, we'll read that again. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Then they say this, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are what? Now notice this, they're accusing these people who don't know the law. Oh, you mean the common people? Those people who maybe aren't educated? They're the ones that they say are what? Cursed. Well, I'll give you a good cross-reference there. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Isn't that something? They are saying, oh, these people who don't know the law, they're the ones that are cursed. Those common people actually acknowledged they needed the Lord Jesus Christ because of the law. They were cursed. They couldn't keep the law. So it's very interesting there. But notice that they say, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Well, let's keep your finger in John 7. Go back to John 3 real quick. And we're going to get into this fella, Nicodemus, who arrives on the scene. This fella, Nicodemus, shows up three times in your Bible. And they're all in the book of John. So let's take a look at this fellow, Nicodemus. Notice in John 7, I'll just remind you, go back to John 3, but it said, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Look at John 3, 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a what? Okay, now hold on a second. This guy fits the bill. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Nicodemus, John 3, there's a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He fits the bill, doesn't he? And lo and behold, look who shows up here, back to John 7. Look who shows up there in John 7, verse 50. Look who it is. It's old Nicodemus. So this last point here, we had the division, we had the deception, and now we're going to get to the defending. Defending, and old Nicodemus defends the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at verse 50. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Now today we would say it like this, innocent until proven what? And how does a person get declared guilty? It's got to be proved that they are a breaker of the law. Nicodemus makes that one statement, and he really ruffles the feathers there. He says, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? So he calls out these Pharisees, these educated elites who were supposed to know the law so well. The Pharisees had condemned a man out of hatred, not because he broke the law. They just didn't like him. The Lord Jesus Christ it is. Now go back to John 10. Go a few pages over here. We'll get to a few more things here and wrapping up. John 10, verse 27. And look what the Lord says here. These Pharisees, oh, they're always out to get the Lord. Look at 10:27. The Lord says again, never man spake like this, man. Look what he says here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them, what's that next thing there, folks? Do you have that? Who's the giver of eternal life? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? Only if you're trusting in Him. It says there, I give unto them eternal life, and I love what it says next. And they shall never, I love that word, I got it underlined, never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Nobody can take you out of the Lord's hand. Look what it says here, verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now watch, this really throws them for a loop. Look at verse 30. I and my Father are one. You know what he said there? He's equal with God the Father. And that's true. But they didn't like that. Look what happens. Look at 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Why are they mad? But what he said is true. Why are they mad? This guy, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, is more important than they are. And they don't like that. Because they're the ones that are supposed to be important. They're the ones that the people are supposed to look to for truth. And this man is now above them. Look at what they look what happens next. Look at verse 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Never man spake like this man. He says, hey, if I'm guilty of the law, then okay. But which law have I broken? So go on here. 33, the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. How could a person make themselves God? They can't. But the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, is God in the flesh. So look what it says there, being a man, makest thyself God. Go over to Philippians 2 real quick. Philippians 2. Let's see this thing about Jesus Christ being God. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 5 and 6 here. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, speaking of Christ Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God. Now, here's the great question. And you go outside Christianity and you'll find out that there's all kinds of conflict about this. Here's the question. Is Jesus Christ equal with the Father? Is Jesus Christ God in the flesh? Your Bible clearly lays this out. But hey, talk to a Mormon. Talk to a Muslim. Talk to a Jehovah's Witness. And they will not agree with you. And each one of them have a book to show you otherwise. You better make sure you got the right book. And by the way, those Jehovah's Witnesses have a book that they say is a Bible. But it's not a Bible. Because they've changed some verses that have to do with the very deity, the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ being God in the flesh. You better make sure you got the right Bible. You better make sure you got a King James Bible. It's going to tell you the truth. All right, let's go back there to John 7. I know we said we're going to wrap up, but I really mean it this time. You know how preachers are about saying that. All right, let's go back here and let's look at some things here and close. Look at 52. John 7, 52. We got to get this thing about Christ being from Galilee. And this is some neat stuff. It says, 51. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? 52. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Now, let's give Nicodemus some credit here. Nicodemus speaks up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see a pattern here with Nicodemus. In John 3, he's questioning the Lord. In John 7, he's standing up for the Lord. And over there in John 19, him and old Joseph of Arimathea are burying the Lord. And I believe that Nicodemus got saved. And it took a little time. And you see a real progression here with Nicodemus, but let's give the guy some credit. In John 7, he's standing up for the Lord, and the other chief priests and the Pharisees and the rulers of the Jews are going against him. So give Nicodemus some credit here. He stands up for the Lord, and what he says, that question he asks, well, they get all upset. And they say, in 52, art thou also of Galilee? Did you notice something about that? Look at the end of 51. Nicodemus is talking. Now follow this. He asked them a question in 51. Now normally, if somebody asks you a question, what do? You give them an answer. Look at 52. They answered and said unto him, and what do? Ask a question. Art thou also of Galilee? They didn't give him an answer. He asked a question about the law, and they say, were you from Galilee too? And what they're doing is they're saying, are you associated with this guy that's out of Galilee also? All right, now, is there a problem with what they said? There is a problem. They say, art thou also of Galilee? Question. And then look what they say, 52. Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Now, that's the Pharisees, the guys that are supposed to know the law, that say, out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. They're supposed to know what the Bible says, aren't they? The statement they make, I'm going somewhere with this, so stick with me here. They say, these guys that are supposed to know everything, out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. They didn't know their Bible. Let me show you why. Go to 2 Kings 14. Little passage over here that when you're reading through your Bible, you're thinking to yourself, now why was that verse thrown in there? But now whenever you cross-reference it with John 7, you say, now I know why God put that verse in there. 2 Kings 14. Here's the question let's answer this morning. Is there a prophet out of Galilee? Is there a great prophet out of Galilee? Let's answer that question. 2 Kings 14, because those guys that are supposed to know what the Bible said, there's no prophet come out of Galilee. Let's find out. 2 Kings 14, look at verse 25. 2 Kings 14, 25. This is talking about Joash, the king of Judah at the time, and it says there in 25, he restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel. Now watch it. Which he spake by the hand of his servant, who is it? Jonah, the son of Amittai, the what? The prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. Check a map. You just want to take one wild guess at where Gath-Hepher is? It's just west of the Sea of Galilee, making Jonah a prophet from where? Galilee. Hold on a second. These guys who are supposed to know what the Bible says don't know what the Bible says. Here is a prophet, Jonah, from Galilee. Now, go back there to John 7. Find two places. John 7, well, this will be the last couple places. John 7 and Matthew 12. John 7, Matthew 12. The Bible said in the Old Testament there, 2 Kings, that Jonah was from Gath-Hepher, which is in Galilee, the north. And keep in mind, Bethlehem is in the south. The Lord was born in Bethlehem, but he spent some time outside of Bethlehem in Galilee. And there's no problem there, unless you're a Pharisee. So go back there to John 7, and it says there, now we just proved these guys wrong. In 752, they say at the end of it, search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. What do we just see in 2 Kings 14? Jonah, a great prophet, was from Gath-Hepher, which you can check the map. I encourage you to do so. It's in Galilee, just west of the Sea of Galilee. So who's right and who's wrong? These Pharisees who are supposed to know everything are wrong. Now, just like the Lord to say something about, of all people, Jonah over in Matthew 12. Now, look at this. Look at this. Matthew 12. And this is how you've got to watch out for these Pharisees because they missed something. They missed something really big here. Look at Matthew 12 and go down there to 12:38. Then certain of the scribes, and here they are, and of the Pharisees answered saying, Master, we would see, what'd they want? We would see a sign from thee. Now watch it. 39, this is the Lord talking. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet. Who is it? Oh, come on. You mean the guy who's from Galilee? Yep, keep going here. Watch it. 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Folks, the one sign that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to those Pharisees was the sign of the prophet Jonah, the very prophet who just happens to be from Galilee. Isn't that something? Those Pharisees thought they knew something. Something that they said was staring them right back in the face saying, "You're wrong." Watch out for those Pharisees. They completely missed something. And watch out. What do we say in 2 Timothy? Deceiving and being deceived. These fellows are deceivers. By what they say there in verse 52, you can tell they themselves are deceived. Isn't that something? So old Nicodemus stands up for the Lord. And he says some things in defense of the Lord. And these Pharisees respond. And folks, those Pharisees got nothing. They got nothing. They got no answer. And their supposed answer leads them into the ditch. Isn't that something? I just remind all of us, stick with what God said. And in the day we live in, I can't emphasize this more. Stick with what God said. God said more than you say, more than you stick with what the scholars say. I'll say another thing with all that's going on in our world right now. Stick with what the Bible says more than you trust science. Have you noticed this? This is a whole other sermon, but let me just say it. Back in March, they said, well, we're going to go with the science. And in April, we're going to trust the science. And in May, we're going to trust the science. And you know what happened in March? And in April, and in May, and June, July, you know what happened? The science kept changing. Now, you can understand why the science kept changing if you understand the foundation of their scientific thought. You know what their scientific thought is? The foundation of it? There is no God. So the foundation of their scientific thought is, let's put God out. Therefore, isn't that deceiving? So what do people who are deceived do? They deceive others. Because they themselves are deceived, they'll deceive others. So don't put your stock in the scholars, and don't put your stock in science. Put your stock in the Savior and the Scriptures. Believe it. And I cannot emphasize that more in the day we live in. I tell you, I've been a Bible believer for a while, but I'm more of a Bible believer in the last 6 months than I ever have been in my life. And I'm going to tell you why. I keep seeing how the scholars and the scientists are off the mark. Trust the Bible. Trust the Scriptures. Folks, don't get bogged down in all this nonsense going on. It is nothing but depressing. You can understand why America's on medication for depression. I totally get it. I get it. But get off the medication and get back in the Bible. All right? You know what you need? You need to replace the medication with some meditation on the Scriptures. I mean that. You need to take your daily meds. Meditate on the Scriptures. That's what we need. All right? So isn't it interesting? Look at the last part of verse 53. Or last part of chapter 7. It's verse 53. Notice how this thing ends. It's kind of sad. After this whole thing that the Pharisees got wrong, that we proved them wrong, and every man went unto his own house. Isn't that something right there? That's how the thing ends. Now, you're going to go to your own house here in a minute. Who are you taking with you? Who are you leaning on? Are you on the Lord's side? Folks, if you're not firmly entrenched on the Lord's side, how about you get there today? I'm talking about salvation first. If you're saved, how about you just get more firmly entrenched? You know, the soldiers, what do they do on the battlefield? They dig. They dig in, they say, right? And they dig in because they're going to be in a spot where they can give fire without receiving fire. How about we dig in? How about we give some fire? All right? Have you been shot at lately? How about we dig in and fire back? And I'm not talking about hurting people. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just talking about taking the sword of the Spirit and doing some battle. And you're not going to do it against flesh and blood. We need to do battle in the spiritual realm. And I'm telling you, Sharon and I were talking just today and the last few days. You can't see it, but you can sense it. The battle is raging right now. Brandon and I were talking before church. If we could see it, it would scare us half to death. But it's there, and it's real, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. And we need the armor, folks. Put your armor on. You know what? If you put your armor on, you're more likely to be like Nicodemus and defend the Lord Jesus Christ and take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll leave you with this. Are you going to allow the world to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you going to step up and defend Him? We need more people to speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ than ever before today. Speak up for Him. Don't let Him be a curse word. Speak up for Him for who He really is. He's the name above all names. By the way, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because of that, the Lord needs some defenders of the truth. Are you going to be one? Are you going to be one of those? I was looking over in Acts, and when the Lord appeared to Paul in Acts chapter 9, Paul responded the way we all ought to respond this morning and every day. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, if you're on the Lord's side, now you need to find out, what does God want me to do? And then when you figure that out, you need to get busy doing it. Let's make sure we do that this week, folks. And what a better place to start than church on a Sunday morning to hear the Scriptures to get some instruction for the week ahead. I don't know if you need it, but I need it. Remember, the preacher has to preach the sermon to himself before he gives it to you. So I got the message. I hope you got the message too. And it's not my message, it's the Lord's. Folks, let's get equipped so you can stand up for the Lord in the week ahead. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your words. And Lord, we need them. We need them more than ever. And I pray you'd raise up an army right here in this church of defenders of your word and defenders of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray here in this invitation time, we respond in a manner that would bring honor and glory to thee and not to us. Lord, just prepare us because we don't know what's coming. But we know that you got a plan for us, and you got something for us to do in the time that we're here. And we pray that we'd be busy doing it. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.